This is Generation Justice. I'm Joshua Horton.
And I'm Jakia Fuller. Generation Justice is a multimedia movement to train youth to harness the power of media for social change.
In 2014, for 51 days, Gaza Strip was repeatedly bombed and fired upon by Israeli military, air, and ground assaults. The 51 days of bombing left Gaza and its 1.8 million inhabitants devastated and in crisis.
Tonight, we'll be sharing audio from a recent Albuquerque event called Eyewitness in Gaza, Nakba 1948 to the Current Humanitarian Crisis. This event raised money to help restore one of the villages that suffered extensive damage.
The money raised will be used to rebuild the kindergarten and restore the water system in the village of Kuza.
Ayman Nahim, a Palestinian professional child trauma specialist, and Richard Becker, author of Palestine, Israel, and the U.S. Empire, provided us with a history and understanding of the current situation in Gaza, including questions from the event.
All that, plus a great calendar of events and some inspiring music, starting off with a song called I Smile by Kirk Franklin.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. There is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
Our first presenter tonight is Richard Becker, author of Palestine, Israel, and the U.S. Empire. And he is also the Western Regional Coordinator for the Answer Coalition.
He has visited the Middle East, leading fact-finding missions, delivering medicines to Palestine hospitals, and spreading information about the thousands of imprisoned Palestinians in Israeli jails.
And here is Richard Becker.
How many people here have visited Palestine? I've been there three times, and each time I'm shocked by the reality that no words or reading or articles can describe about the level of oppression, the contemptuous attitude that the Israelis, for the most part, not all, but for the most part, and especially in the military, have toward the Palestinian people and the way that they treat them. I do want to reinforce what's been said earlier, that the Nakba, which is ongoing, was intentional, and the 1948 one was planned. And I want to just say read one short thing from a few years before, and it's a quote that's a pretty famous quote by Joseph Weitz, who was the head of the Zionist Jewish National Fund, it's called, one of the most powerful institutions. And he said, among them, an internal document, among ourselves it must be clear that there is no room for both people in this country, and there's no way besides transferring the Arabs from here to neighboring countries to transfer them all. And it continues, except maybe Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Old Jerusalem, we must not leave a single village or a single tribe. And that's what was said in 1940. And 8 years later, in November 1947, when the illegal partition plan passed the United Nations and the war got underway, that in the first stages of the war, the Zionist military was in a far advantageous position and won most of the battles, not all of them. I'm talking about in December and January. And the high command, and this is now documented by Israeli historians as well as Palestinian historians and others, the high command met and they said, this is not working for us. We are winning the battles, but when the people leave the village where the battle happened, they only go over one village or two villages and they stay there. This is not working for us. So after that was Plan C, that phase, Plan D, or Plan Dalet, was put into motion. And Plan Dalet was a strategy of terror. If you want to read about the more than 200 massacres, Ilan Pappé's book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, talks about this, about a concentrated form of terror, which is what forced so much of the vast majority of the Palestinian population out, and nothing else. It was a campaign of terror, and it was planned. When we say it's, afterwards, a few years later, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, was asked, well, what about the refugees? They're still refugees. They're still there. He said, the old will die, and the young will forget. Those were his words. And when we talk about ongoing Nakba, we mean the 1953 massacre in Kibya, that was carried out under Ariel Sharon's direction. The 1956 war, French-Israeli-British war, a real conspiracy, not a made-up conspiracy, a real conspiracy that for Israel to expand its territory, but that was pushed back. The 1967 war, when they weren't pushed back, when they conquered the West Bank and Golan and Gaza and Sinai and only gave back Sinai as to Egypt as part of the terrible Camp David agreement. The 1982 invasion, indiscriminate bombing of the people in Beirut and in Lebanon. The 1996 Qana massacre, where Israel was bombing the south of Lebanon once more, and people were told to go to a UN site where they would be safe. And then they didn't bomb it from the air. They used artillery to shell the camp, and over 100 people killed and hundreds more wounded. I visited there last year. And just one thing to keep in mind about the nature of this government, the new Israeli government, is that the company commander in Qana, and you have to be very deliberate when you use artillery. You know, you have to have observers and so forth. There was no accident. Is named Naftali Bennett. Naftali Bennett is now the education minister in the new government. In 2002, there was the massive assault on the West Bank and Gaza. I also was able to go to Jenin after the 72-hour destruction by bulldozer of the refugee camp at Jenin, and all the cities were all the Palestinian cities were reoccupied. And in 2006, there was a new war against Lebanon, which Israel actually had to pull back from despite the initial all-out support of the U.S. because they were losing that war. But they inflicted massive damage on the Lebanese and Palestinian people in that war. In 2008 and 9, in 2012, in 2014, with these massive assaults on Gaza that we've talked about, and I want to just say what the role, and this is especially why the role of us inside the United States is so important, and I think another reason for people to think what they can really contribute tonight. This is what the House resolution in the middle of Operation Cast Lead on January 8, 2009, it was passed. Nancy Pelosi pushed it very hard, and it said in part that it calls on all nations to condemn Hamas for deliberately embedding its fighters, leaders, and weapons in private homes, schools, mosques, hospitals, and otherwise using Palestinian civilians as human shields while simultaneously targeting Israeli civilians, and B, to lay blame for the breaking of the calm for the subsequent civilian casualties in Gaza, precisely where blame belongs, that is on Hamas. That's from one of our great leaders. I mean, talk about the level of callous, inhumane, utter dishonesty. So that is the role that the U.S. has played and continues to play in the Nakba. And a little bit more is just to say this. In 2005, when Sharon directed the pullout of settlements from Gaza, not ending the occupation by any means, because as was said earlier, you know, it's a concentration camp. It became a concentration camp. But when asked about why they were doing it, Dov Weisglass, who was a top advisor to Sharon, said, how did this relate to the peace process? He said, the purpose is to freeze the peace process. In 2006, when Hamas won the election, which all international observers said was a, you know, relatively fair election, that was greeted by not only Israel imposing sanctions and blockade, but also the United States and the European Union. You know, the purpose of sanctions and blockade is to punish the population. All other excuses that are given is to weaken a country, to punish the population, to inflict suffering on the population. So the Palestinians are being told, well, you voted the wrong way in the election, now you must suffer, and we will really make you suffer. The combination of the massive recurrent bombing, the sanctions, the blockade on one of the poorest and most densely populated areas of the world constitutes a recurrent war crime. It is a war crime. And it's one for which all of the leaders of all of the countries who are involved in imposing this on the Palestinian people, on the people in Gaza, should have to answer, should be accountable. So I will conclude by saying this, that Ben-Gurion's prediction, the old will die and the young will forget, has turned out to be completely false. It has been refuted by the struggle of the Palestinian people who have not given up and who will never give up, and There is nowhere in the world where it's more important for them to receive support from than right here in the United States. Thank you.
One of the things I learned after listening to Mr. Becker speak was that war is planned out. And the 1948 war on Palestine by Israel was planned out several years before. The Israeli Prime Minister said that the old will die and the young will forget. I'm offended that he said those words, and I'm glad that his words are proven wrong 60 years later.
The continuous terror and horrifying attacks on Palestine and the U.S. refusal to do anything about it is unbelievable. There's a complete disregard for life in Gaza. As a country, as human beings, we cannot allow people to be treated in such inhumane ways. So thank you to Richard Becker for your continuous activism for Palestine and for sharing your story with us. Now to some music. This is Ana Ismi Sha'ab Philistine by George Quermus, which translates to, My Name is the People of Palestine.
On May 16th, the Albuquerque Mennonite Church hosted Eyewitness in Gaza to share information about the plight of the people of Gaza.
The event coincided with Nakba Day, which commemorates the catastrophe in 1947 for hundreds of thousands of Palestinians displaced from their homes as a result of the establishment of the State of Israel.
One of the presenters that evening was Ayman Nahim, a specialist in childhood trauma. Ayman was born and raised in Gaza. He created Let Them Play and Heal, a program providing psychosocial support for children suffering from trauma using drama, song, laughter, and dance.
He additionally manages women's classes for traumatized children, providing much-needed support to families in Gaza.
Here is Ayman Nahim.
It is my humbling honor to talk to tonight to New Mexico people and to Albuquerque community. It was my third time to be in New Mexico, and I feel I am privileged to speak tonight, and my people cannot go outside of Gaza. So let's start by Nakba. I will tell you, like, for a brief moment, what does it mean, Nakba, for us as a Palestinian. In 1948, 532 villages were completely destroyed. 800,000 Palestinians were expelled from their land. All of Palestine was occupied except the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem. In 1967, Israel occupied all of Palestine. Just for us, because we are commemorating Nakba, Nakba stands for catastrophe in English. Nakba, we are living ongoing Nakba since the Israeli occupation, and since the Zionist ideology formation back in 1897, passing 1917 with the Balfour Declaration, and then 1947 with the partition plan in the United Nations, which Palestine was partitioned, and Palestine was occupied by the Zionist gangs who are not Jewish. There are a great difference between being a Jewish and being Zionist. There is a great difference between being a human being and being a Zionist. For us as Palestinians, and as brothers and sisters from everywhere, from every background, we are fighting for our human rights, we are fighting for our social justice, we are fighting against demonization, dehumanization, and delegitimization of our life. So today, as we are speaking, we will talk about Khuza'a, which is five times the size of University of New Mexico. Khuza'a is a small town. It was occupied in 1948, Israel occupied half of it, and in 1967, occupied all of it. In 2005, when Israel said, we will unilaterally disengage from Gaza, they gave the other half to Gaza. So now, Khuza'a is a caravan town, because Israel, in the last summer, attacks on Gaza, the last heinous, the last inhumane attacks on armless people, inside Khuza'a. Khuza'a is not a security threat to Israel because it is a farming area. And anyone in military or in politics know this is like, this is not a place for launching rockets or nothing, to be honest with you. Khuza'a right now is a caravan town. People are living in the streets. People have no water, as it is in all of Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip, as you know, to make it a catchy phrase and to get to your minds and hearts, Gaza Strip is a combination of Warsaw Ghetto and a concentration camp. Why? Back in 1944, persecuted Jews were digging the tunnels to feed their kids. And we are, since 2007, till now, we are digging the tunnels to feed our kids in Gaza. Because of what? Because of the siege that was imposed by Israel. The siege was horrendous. It kills people. We have right now 200 women who have breast cancer who cannot go to Egypt or Israel for medical treatment. We have 92% of traumatized kids who have no medical treatment. So this is Gaza. This is where we live. This is where we spent our life under occupation. This is Gaza. That today we are trying from you to help. To help the downtrodden people. To help people who are innocent. I just came to the United States 1 year ago to do my master's degree. I want to go back in August as my colleagues. I want to go back to see my family, my brothers and sisters and friends. They will not allow me to go in. Why? Israel denied my entry. Egypt denied my entry. I asked them why. Why you denied my entry? Just because you are from Gaza. Gaza for us is a meaning of resilience and steadfastness. And we will not forever allow our kids to normalize oppression, to normalize dehumanization. So what I mean, Nakba is vivid right now, and it is ongoing, and in our hearts, in our minds. And for us, we have no option just to fight against oppression by nonviolent action that we believe in. Because it is our moral obligation to save our people by strategic nonviolence. Not because we are weak, but because we are strategic. And because deep inside, we know that we will liberate our lands by our hands. I live 1 mile from Khuza'a. Khuza'a is like Shuja'iyya refugee camp. Shuja'iyya, it was also a huge destruction of our houses. I want to give you my personal stories, and I bet you read a lot, and you can ask me about in the Q&A about numbers and statistics, because we are not numbers. We are not numbers. We are a human being, and we deserve life. We deserve to live in peace. I deserve to have my kids go to college. I deserve my kids not to see 7 people killed in the street. I deserve to have that. Khuza'a now is destroyed. And it is Khuza'a present Nakba. If you look at Khuza'a in the videos, you will see in Nakba, but in its updated. And it's white phosphorus. You know for white phosphorus used against Palestinians? White phosphorus and jet fighters and the drones and Black Hawks. All of these technology that was funded by great United States of America to kill my people. Khuza'a is an example of a Nakba. And I am so honored to speak. To honor my brothers and sisters and freedom fighters who spent their lives for me to come here. 7 of my friends were killed in the last war. My brothers, 2 of my brothers were injured, and my family house was destroyed. It was destroyed in 2009, and it was destroyed in 2014. So 400,000 Palestinians were homeless. My wife and 2 kids were homeless in the United Nations shelter. It was very hard for me being here and studying about conflict transformation across cultures And you can think about kids are crying. I didn't use PowerPoint and photos today because I don't want to disturb you emotionally. But I want to give you from my heart what I believe and what I stands for. My wife, when she was inside the United Nations shelter, she sent me a photo of a child. She's 4 years old, and her mom was killed during the war. And you can feel a child with 4 years old with the newborn, and she hugged the newborn. I mean, this photo for me, it costs $1 billion. That we will not leave you alone. We will not leave 53% of Gaza population are children. We will not leave them alone. And because we will not leave them alone, we ask today, a human being who share with us love and compassion and social justice to help us and to help those people, to help Middle East Children Alliance, to help the organizers who spend too much time just to work and organizing and planning, to help them succeed, to fund a kindergarten and to fund a water system. Because why kindergarten? Why kindergarten? We have 3 high schools in Khuza'a, 1 elementary school and 2 high schools. And there is 1 kindergarten. This kindergarten was destroyed. And we want to say to them, you have brothers and sisters. You haven't seen them, but their hearts are with you. You will not suffer because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. As Martin Luther King said, it will come to you. It is a trauma. It is a trauma. I lived in Iraq in 2003. I was studying there. I got homeless 6 months after the war. When the United States, in 9 March 2003, at 4 a.m., invaded Iraq. I got homeless. And I lived under the bridge 6 months. And I will tell you from here, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I lived it. After 10 years of trauma flashbacks, look what is going on in the Middle East. And in Palestine, you have to look. We are resilient. But those people, if they are not healed, the children, if they are not healed. So we are here. We are trying to heal. We are trying to show them that you are not alone. Our children in Palestine, you are not alone. I mean, for me, I'm so sorry, I may cry. It is unfair that I cannot see my own family. And if I am a Jewish, I can go in a matter of one day, I can claim citizenship. And where I live, where I was born, I cannot go. Is it fair? If it is fair, we are not a human being. It is unfair. It is unfair that we are expelled from where we live. I want to tell you again and again, Gaza Strip is a place that people want to live in peace, in harmony. They want to raise their kids. Our dream is just to live, to raise our kids. I wish I lived all of my life in peace. We want to live like as everyone. We want to see our children go to school, go to college. You want to see them grow up? I have 2 of my brothers were killed when they are 5 years old. I was detained when I was 7 years old. Every child right now, everyone has a story. Every family has a story. If you don't have a martyr in the house, you will have a prisoner. If you don't have, you will have exiled, deported from where you live, because they want to expel us out of the map. I want to ask you to generously donate to your brothers and sisters in Palestine and to especially to Khuza'a, and you will help kids, children to go to school and to help them have drinking water and to feel that you are doing something for the downtrodden people who are living in a concentration camp. We will not forget you. We will not forget our brothers and sisters. We will not forget the organizers from Jews for Peace in Palestine and Friends of Sabil and everyone who is involved. We will not forget you. We will ingrain your names in our hearts when we get freedom. And thank you for that. And thank you for the organizer. And thank you for coming. Thank you so much.
Listening to what Mr. Naheem said made me reflect on the words of Dr. King, that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. It made me feel sadness for the people of Gaza, basically because they aren't even allowed basic human rights. This is a crucial time where we have to take care of one another. I believe we need to use our voices and speak out on their behalf and stand with them in solidarity.
Such a powerful story from Ayman. It's hard to hear about the harsh realities people face in Gaza. And the fact that the U.S. funded the very weapons used to kill Palestinians is shameful.
Thank you, Mr. Naheem, for sharing your story and the important work you do. It was very eye-opening.
Local community organizer Sammy Assad, who helped coordinate Eyewitness in Gaza, provided the following song for tonight's show.
Here is Una Dukum by Marcel Khalif.
At the Eyewitness in Gaza event, New Mexico community members had a chance to ask questions of the presenters in order for a dialogue to begin with Ayman Naheem, Richard Becker, and local organizer Sammy Assad, who additionally answered questions.
Here are some of the questions asked at the Eyewitness in Gaza event.
Can you talk about the role that natural gas offshore plays in the blockade of Gaza?
In terms of the natural gas, in the first war, after Hamas got elected in 2005 and the siege that was imposed in 2007, Israel and its strategic websites, even in Hebrew and in English, they said one of our unstated goals of these attacks are looking for gas inside the Mediterranean Sea. And I was working as a journalist in that time, in 2008, 2009. And in that time, Israel went to the shore. I was working with international TV. They went to the shore, and it has no fighters there. Because, like, it is open. Like, from the drones, you can kill them. From the jet fighters, you can kill them. In this area, they rounded up, and for 3 days... And there are some specialists, and we have taken some photos to dig the gas. Why Israel is interested in the gas in Palestine, in addition to the water, in addition to the electricity, in addition to everything, in addition to the human being in Palestine? Because it will help Israel 30 years to survive in terms of gas. It will help Israel to reduce the price from Egypt, because Israel is dependent on gas from Egypt. And you, if you want to go in details, there are a lot of articles that was written. There's a website I recommend you to read, Counterpunch or Common Grounds, and there's article about the gas, one of the unstated goals of Israel in terms of the last three operations, the last three wars in Gaza. So it is documented, and there are a lot of strategic researches about the gas. So the gas is one of the important economic reasons for Israel to go into Gaza Strip.
You know, it's not a coincidence that the Pope announced this the day before Nakba commemoration. So I think it was more for moral support. I do not think the Vatican has done anything near what they should do for the Christian Palestinians. It's like they're forgotten. Nobody wants to talk about Christian Palestinians because it puts the Western world in a different light. 1956 and in 1967, there were 58,000 Palestinian Christians in Old Jerusalem. Now there are less than 3,000. Yes. The Vatican has not done nothing for Palestinian Christians. And it's a shame. I like the Pope. I think he tries, but no. No. It's not going to work. And a one-state solution is definitely what we're looking at. The two-state solution is gone, 20 years late. I would have liked to have two-state, but it's going to be one state, and it's going to be what, you know, the human rights for all, everybody's equal, and that's where, you know, that's the way the world works. I mean, South Africa, that's what happened. You just can't have an unjust situation last forever. And it's a different world. We have social media. We have young people. Everybody's exposed to Palestine now. Everybody knows what's going on. So the international pressure on Israel is going to be much harder now. And that's why you have the panic in Israel. You have the right wing that are really, like, fanatical. And as for the gas, I recall BP, British Petroleum, 5 months after the Israelis pulled out of Gaza, they discovered the biggest natural resource of gas on the shores of Gaza. And since then, 5 wars have been launched on Gaza since 2005. I think it was December 2005, right? Yeah, and yeah, natural resources is definitely a reason why they're attacking Gaza. And that's why I fear they're going to attack it again. I don't think they're, you know, there's not one penny that was dedicated to Gaza, around $8 billion. After the last year's attack, not one penny was sent to rebuild Gaza. There's not one home that has been rebuilt. It is catastrophic what's happened to Gaza. And I'm afraid they're thinking of a transfer. I mean, the whole situation around Israel with Egypt, with Syria, with Iraq, you wonder where they want to put the Palestinians. They want 1.8 million people to disappear. They want the resources. There's been plans. They actually have plans and designs of different, you know, they want to make Gaza something similar to Dubai. They have dreams. They're not going to give up on Gaza. And we need everybody here to say, no, it's not going to happen. We're not going to stand for it.
Hello, my name is Marissa Joe. I'm Hung Lung Wah from the village of Sipalavi. And I just
from where?
I'm Hung Lung Wah from the village of Sipalavi. I'm an indigenous person here in this country.
Oh, love indigenous people. Yeah. I went to hotels. I was crying there because I felt connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was crying right there too because I feel connected. And
yeah, we have to take a photo actually. Okay.
Definitely. I just wanted to say thank you very much for coming here tonight and speaking with us and sharing with us your stories. This is really emotional for me because as an indigenous person, you know, living under the forced colonial occupation of my homeland, this, it hits really deep, you know, because it's not...
And there is no acknowledgement. That's the problem.
Exactly. I mean, there is no acknowledgement. And that's, you know, what we are fighting for here, too, is the acknowledgement that this is our homeland, that we were here, we were living here. This was not a land that was not occupied, just as your homeland.
It is.
I didn't think I was going to cry.
I want to say something, that when I went to Taos, I was with my friend Laura Lucero, and I cried when I saw, because I felt connected. And you know, it is deep inside. Words cannot express how much pain you have, and we call it collective trauma. Historic trauma that affects your mind, affects your identity. And Israel tries until now to change our identity. That's we build the programs for the children. Don't normalize oppression.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Jewish. I lived in Israel. I spent time in the 70s in Israel and on the West Bank with Sufi sheikhs. So I have a deep
connection.
connection. Yes. And my family, I grew up in a Zionist family. My mother moved to Israel, and, you know, so my sister, brother, etc., who served in the army. And, of course, I was a stranger to, you know, why I saw the way I did was not understood by them. But so I've been walking both in a bridge for a long, long time. But my quest my question is, from my point of view, everything that the Israeli government, all of the wrongs that you are pointing to, are very obviously, clearly horrible, terrible. Yeah. And both sides have their list of what each one has done wrong. And this is what maintains the fear. I mean, my question is, how are we ever going to break through to anything like empathy?
I agree with you, and I believe in what you said, in compassionate listening and empathy, and that's what we believe. That's why we are seeking a solution. And I told you when I was speaking that it should be starting with the trauma healing, with acknowledgement of the Palestinian pain, with the right of return in 1948. And these are Palestinian constants, and these are demands to live with each other. And we have to have a transitional justice. You have to share your story as a perpetrators, and you have to help the victim, because transitional justice is a victim-centered. So it is halfway. You have to deal with each other. You have to create the transitional justice, transformative justice, restorative justice. You have to bring all of the professionals from all around the world to help you in that process. But with the mentality inside Israel, you will not have that. With the mentality you cannot have with the right-leaning wing. We wish, if they are a labor party or the leftist group inside Israel who will work out, but there are a few and they are not influential. And you can go together, Levi, Yuri Afneri, and you can read all of these articles about that. But what I want to say, we are as Palestinians, we are not the perpetrators of the Holocaust. We know in 1947, we know about what was happening. We cannot, there is a book by Richard Forer, he is a resident of New Mexico. He wrote a book, Breakthrough, Transforming Fear into Compassion. But we differentiate between examined fear. There is fear in conflict zones. That's fine. That's legitimate. But the fear is not also in the Israeli side. The Palestinians have no arms, and you kill 2,000 people, and you said, I am afraid. I mean, if you have the fourth weaponry in the world, and you are afraid, imagine we are, as Palestinians, we are 1.8 in a concentration camp, and we are not afraid. Why? Because in war zones, there is a book also I recommend you to read, A War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning, for Chris Hedges. And if you can read Viktor Frankl, the book, The Search for Meaning, In war zones, there's a sense of connectedness and belonging. You know why? Because when you feel that three people will be killed on your behalf, you feel that you are connected. In 9/11, what happens in 9/11, people were strangers, were coming together. Why? Because they feel they are connected to each other. In Palestine, we are connected when there is war. When there is attack against you, we are connected. But inside Israel, they are not connected. Because what? Because psychologically, in terms of liberational psychology, it means that they knew they are doing bad things. And you can go to the Israeli soldiers' testimonies. They ask us to kill, kill, kill. I know it is wrong, but we are not the perpetrators of the Holocaust. We cannot say that we did that. We have our friends, we have our Jewish friends, our Jewish brothers and sisters who lives in Palestine. And they are against, we are scapegoats of a neoliberalism, colonialism back in the history.
I have learned a lot about what has been happening, and I'm alarmed and disappointed that Gaza isn't as prominent as it should be in mainstream U.S. media. Everyone needs to realize that this injustice is still going on today, right now. Treating people as disposable is sickening and disheartening. When will we get to a mutual point of empathy and understanding for one another?
I love how Sami Assad said, injustice cannot last forever. And I think there's hope for Gaza with activists like her, Ayman Nahim, and Richard Becker. People who are fighting for Gaza's tomorrow. A tomorrow with equality, a tomorrow with justice and togetherness.
Thank you to all the presenters tonight for sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us. This has made me want to study more about what is happening in Palestine. Here is a song that I have selected for this evening entitled Iron Sky by Paolo Nutini. It gives me a sense of hope and I'd like to share it with you.
We are proud individuals living for the city, but the flame.
We have reached the point in our program where we share some amazing upcoming events that are happening right here in our community.
To share these amazing events with you, here are our wonderful calendar hosts, Cecilia Frescas and Edgar Cruz.
Welcome to this week's exciting edition of Community Calendar. I am Cecilia Frescas.
And I'm Edgar Cruz.
We've got a lot of great events coming up these next few weeks here in Albuquerque.
First up, the Center for Peace and Justice will be offering an Intro to Nonviolent Communication, a 6-week introductory class led by Bob Wentworth. The Nonviolent Communication class will introduce a deeper, more empathetic, and peaceful way to communicate with others and ourselves.
Learning about the alternatives to common patterns of thinking and communicating can be used for so many different types of relations. Intimate relationships, work settings, social services, policing, government, and also schools.
The 6-week class will be held at the Center for Peace and Justice on Tuesdays from 11:15 a.m. to 1:15 p.m.
You can check out this week's class on July 14th, and if you can't make it this week, don't you worry, there'll be another class offered next Tuesday, July 21st.
For more information on either of these classes, please call the Center for Peace and Justice at 505-268-9557. Ceci, do you want to tell us more about the next event?
Yes, I'm actually very excited about this second event because coming up this week is the Route 66 Summer Fest.
That's right. The City of Albuquerque, Nob Hill Main Street, and the New Mexico Jazz Festival are excited to present the annual Route 66 Summerfest, happening this coming Saturday, July 18th in historic Nob Hill.
You won't want to miss this event because there will be live music on 3 different stages and, get this, food trucks, my favorite, plus the shops will be open late.
Mother Road Market will feature 2 blocks of handmade arts and crafts from 40 different artisans. Come check out the range of jewelry, baked goods, and art.
Also, there's something for the whole family. There's going to be lots of activities for the kids, like face painting, henna, inflatables, and even a rock climbing wall, which I might do even though I'm not a kid.
Starting at 1 p.m., the streets will be lined up with over 100 classic cars shined in pristine condition. Stick around through 8 p.m. as the cars in the show will start their engines and head west down Old Route 66 for the annual Neon Cruise.
So make sure to swing by Route 66 this Saturday to check out some of these activities.
And speaking of festivals, La Placita Institute will be hosting the 2015 Annual Mexican Traditional Healing Festival on Monday, July 20th.
Spread the word! The festival will be from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. and there will be a variety of traditional healing services offered.
This is also a family-friendly event. There will be food and childcare provided.
The services, such as sobadas, acupuncture, limpias, and consultas de hierba, are available to all and are offered by curandera spiritual healers from Mexico.
You can learn more about the event or offer to volunteer by calling 505-508-1802.
You can also send them an email to laplacitahealingfestival@gmail.com for more information or to ask about how your organization can get involved.
If you can't make it to La Placita Healing Festival, you can also check out the traditional health fair for the very next day, on July 24th.
The fair will be held at the National Hispanic Cultural Center from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m.
The National Hispanic Cultural Center, along with the UNM Women's Resource Center and Tonantzin's Traditional Healing, are coming together with healers from Mexico and the Southwest to provide a space for healing treatments.
This fair is held alongside the curanderismo class being taught at UNM called Traditional Medicine Without Borders.
Reminder that this event for 2015 is going to be held on Tuesday, July 21st. The coordinators of the event are looking for volunteer organizers, practitioners, and community health educational tables. If you're interested, please be sure to message curanderismo@unm.edu.
You can also learn more about the event and the class by going on Facebook and searching Curanderismo Class at UNM.
What better way to end our community calendar than to share an awesome training opportunity? The New Mexico Owning the Dream Training, a community-led DACA DAPA implementation workshop.
Are you interested in learning how to help your community with DACA and DAPA? Then you might really want to attend this two-day workshop, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th.
The event runs from 4:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Friday, and on Saturday, it's from 8:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m.
The event is co-sponsored by United We Dream, the Community Engagement Center at UNM, El Centro de la Raza, and New Mexico Listo Campaign.
United We Dream has been working on DACA implementation since its beginning, so they are excited to share what they've learned, the best practices, and the models that they've developed.
And just in case you didn't know what DACA and DAPA are, they are the executive actions that give certain undocumented immigrants access to work permits and safety from deportation.
Everyone is welcome to attend this training, whether you're a volunteer at a community organization, a church or union member, an educator or guidance counselor, or just anyone interested in learning how to help your community have access to DACA.
And again, this event will be July 24th and 25th at South Valley Academy, located on Blake and Coors.
If you have any questions, you can contact Camila Bortellotto at camila@unitedwedream.org.
And that's all for our community calendar, folks. I'm Cecilia Frescas.
And I'm Edgar Cruz.
Now back to our hosts, Josh and Jakia, for our next song.
Thank you, Cecilia and Edgar, for that awesome community calendar.
Now on to our next song by Julian Casablancas called 11th Dimension.
Well, we've come to the end of tonight's program. Thank you all for joining us this evening as we discuss the injustice in Gaza.
We would like to thank Eamon Naheem, Sami Assad, and Richard Becker for sharing their powerful work and insights with us.
Thanks to this week's editor, Jordan Unverzat, and our engineer this evening, Kamaria Umi.
Tonight's show was produced and engineered by Christina Rodriguez, with production assistance from George Luna Pena, Melissa Harris, and Roberta Real.
And last but certainly not least, much love to all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. We couldn't do what we do without you.
Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past radio programs, see music playlists, read our blogs, watch videos, and much, much more. Also, our podcasts are available on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from McCune Foundation, Con Alma Foundation, and of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate. I'm Joshua Horton.
And I'm Jakia Fuller. Coming up next on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned. See you next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
It could be.
It could be every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
every day.
It could be